Now, back to Vocal Point with your host, Jerry Newcomb, on GraceNetRadio.com.
And welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. And now as we come to part two, there is some technical difficulties that we're dealing with today. There's something wrong with our phone system. I'm not sure what the problem is, but we're not getting dial tone. I heard some sort of crash as I was talking with Elaine Bennett at the very end there, and then the line went dead, and now the lines are dead, and I can't call out to my next guest. But let me say a little bit about him. His name is Dr. Byron Johnson. Dr. Byron Johnson has written a book, and it's called More God, Less Crime. So let me say a little bit about Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson is a professor, as I say, at Baylor University. He used to be at the University of Pennsylvania, and that, of course, is an Ivy League school. And then he went on from there to teach at Princeton, and then he went on to Baylor. And I asked him, you know, why did you leave Princeton to go to Baylor? And he said, well, they made such a nice offer. And I noticed that Baylor University seems to be moving in this direction. Let's see if this is Dr. Johnson himself on the line. Hello, this is Jerry Newcomb. Hello, is this Dr. Johnson? Oh, it's Mr. Dialtone. Anyway, Baylor gave him a great opportunity. But here's the interesting thing about Baylor University. What they're doing is they've been putting together a program where they have different professors that are focused on the impact of the gospel. Now, I find this very, very interesting. First of all, let me say this. I am the co-author of a book that I wrote many years ago with the late Dr. D. James Kennedy. Dr. Kennedy is the ultimate founder of this radio station because GraceNetRadio.com is essentially WAFG reborn for the internet age. And so Dr. Kennedy founded that many, many, many years ago, and he and I was very privileged to work with him on a book, and then it ended up leading to 14 other books. But anyway, what if Jesus had never been born? It came out about 20 years ago, literally 20 years ago. It was 1994, and here we are, 2014. And so this book essentially could be retitled, if you would, to Because Jesus Was Born. And so this idea that's brought out in the book is that the gospel has been good to civilization on balance. Now, there's a chapter in there, but what about the Crusades? What about the Inquisition? You know, what about the bad stuff? Witches burned, that kind of stuff. So we deal with that as well. And the reason I'm so attracted to Dr. Byron Johnson, whom I was hoping to talk with, but again, there's something wrong with our phone system, is because of the fact that he is so knowledgeable about all the ways in which, or at least some of the ways in which, the gospel has positively impacted our culture. So he has found in his research that if you go to church on a weekly basis, that on average, you will actually add 7 years to your life. Oh, good. It sounds like the dial tone is working. So we'll try and get Dr. Johnson here. And if you're African American, on average, you will add 14 years to your life if you go to church on a regular basis. And so that's exciting to me to know about that. That's just one of the studies, Dr. Byron Johnson.
Sorry, this is Josh.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm trying to reach Dr. Byron Johnson.
Can I ask who's calling?
Yes, this is Jerry Newcomb, and we're actually on the radio. I'm sorry, I thought this was his direct line. All right. Sure, thank you so much. I'm calling Baylor University. Dr. Johnson is the author of a book called More God, Less Crime. Dr. Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, so Jerry. Glad to talk with you. Yeah, we were just having some technical difficulties where our phones were having problems. But now we've got you, and we're so happy. So I was just telling our listeners that you really have specialized in ways in which you can essentially do empirical research documenting that the gospel is good for society. And one of the products of your research, of course, is that classic book, More God, Less Crime. Is it really true that is the gospel good for society?
Yeah, the good news is all about good news. And so we find it across fields. This is research, by the way, done by people of no faith, little faith, and some faith. I mean, there are plenty of people out there interested in studying religion for all kinds of different reasons. And, you know, the bulk of that research is really kind of a secret. I'm just trying to help people understand there's so much powerful news there that's worth knowing about. So it's not just that it keeps people out of trouble, which it does, and it's not just that it helps people put their lives back together, which it does, but, you know, it helps people live happier, healthier lives and more satisfied lives across the board. Less depression, less suicidal ideation. They're able to cope better because of the practice of their faith. They're much more resilient. I mean, you know, let's face it, life is tough. And, you know, a lot of people want to know, how can people come from such disadvantaged backgrounds, you know, born on the wrong side of the tracks, have all kinds of strikes against them, and they make it? How is this possible? And for a lot of people, are very, scholars like to say, they're resilient. What's behind the resiliency?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you just look really close, if you collect data on these kinds of things, you find that faith is central to much of what we know about kind of pro-social behavior. And then you find an awful lot of absence of faith when you look at some of these other same issues. And so now we know that, guess what, religion's protective. It's a protective factor. And, you know, one of these days we hope that insurance companies, when they kind of ask you, do you smoke, do you do this, do you do this, you know, they should
be asking,
do you go to church regularly? You know, if you don't, you might want to consider the possibility. But so there's some, you know, even utilitarian reasons why people might want to attend.
Do you really say, I mean, you've said this before. I even put it in a column that went out last week on Town Hall and Christian Post and WorldNet Daily and TruthInAction.org and other outlets as well. I quoted you. You said that the average, if you go to church on a weekly basis, on average, as an American, you'll add 7 years to your life. And if you're African-American, you'll add 14 years to your life. Is that really true, Dr. Johnson?
There are studies done by demographers that show that is the case. And, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than that, of course. You know, why would people live longer? It's not like, you know, churches are full of exercise classes necessarily. But there are some other things that go along with it. You know, I think that if you go to church or religious services and you practice what is taught in the scripture, in general, you'll have healthier behaviors.
Yeah.
You know, you're less likely to party all night if you go to church regularly and follow the teachings that are outlined in scripture.
Yeah.
So, and you know, for people that struggle, stress causes all kinds of problems in one's life, and everyone has to deal with stress. But
yeah,
if faith can help you deal with stress, that's actually better for your health too. So once you start unpacking these things, which science helps us to do, then you could understand why it might lead to, you know, longevity in terms of the life cycle. And so, I mean, you know, we often hear about an elderly person that dies and then the other spouse dies shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
I mean, these kinds of things are very impactful. And so, you know, what keeps people going? Well, it's hope, it's meaning, it's purpose in life. And if you look at those three variables right there, what do you find as a common thread? Faith. And so it's not that people with no faith,
yeah,
have no hope, but it does add powerfully to most people, and that they will tell you that there's a reason that there's a bounce in their step, and it comes from God. And so, yeah, these are now empirical facts. There are hundreds and hundreds of studies that point to these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the reader to say it's a complete slam dunk. I'm not trying to say that there aren't some negative things that could happen in church and that some people do have negative experiences, and of course I, you know, readily acknowledge that we have abuse in the church. It's there, but in general the story is remarkably positive, and so it's a story worth telling. And we don't hear it very often. There was a terrible study done just recently that it came to the conclusion that conservative religion is bad for families.
Wow.
And it caused a number of us to react, what are you talking about? And, you know, it was a poorly done study, and of course they got enormous coverage, because the idea is, okay, you go to church, you're just as likely to be divorced as anybody else. And that is absolutely false. The more you go to church, the more likely you are to stay married and to report that you're happy in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one of the things that we need to be mindful of is, what are we hearing? And then, you know, where are the footnotes, and where can you check out this research? And is it legitimate research or not?
Hmm. By the way, that particular study, somehow it escaped me. School was it released under, and where was
well,
it?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say that one of my colleagues at Baylor was one of the co-authors of that study, and so I had to quickly get on the internet to tell people I had nothing to do with the study, because it just isn't accurate. Church attendance is very protective. You know, there's an old saying that couples that pray together stay together.
Yeah.
You know, guess what? It's true.
Wow.
It is true.
Go ahead.
A sense in which people of no faith or little faith or people that are very secular want to believe that churches are not good for you.
Yeah.
And that churches, you know, preach a certain kind of behavior that's not really healthy. And it's just completely false. That's why, you know, when students come up to me and ask, you know, how do you meet the right person in life? I say, go to church. You'll meet the right person at church, and maybe not the typical place where most college students think of meeting a mate. And I say that because I know it to be true, but the research actually bears it out.
Yep, that's a good point. And by the way, I realized something. I'm remiss. About 10 or 15 minutes ago, in the first part of this interview, I was talking to Bill Bennett's wife, Elaine Bennett. She's written a book called Daughters in Danger. And at one point, we were talking about single parenting and, you know, how difficult it is. But we gave the positive example that despite the odds, Ben Carson's mother did a terrific job in rearing him and his brother.
Yep.
And but I left out the faith factor. And that factor is a huge, huge factor. So I apologize for leaving that out. The faith factor is important, isn't it?
It is so important. And, you know, some people, we've done some studies looking at this very thing, Jerry, looking at single parent families, because, you know, all too often we sound a little judgmental about people that rear children by themselves. But the reality is, a lot of these people that rear children by themselves do so in the church. And if they do, the church provides an incredible social support network. Even my friend Bob Putnam at Harvard University readily acknowledges that it is not so much church attendance as it is the power of those networks of friendship and support that people have embedded within congregations.
Yeah.
And I think this is why Scripture encourages us to assemble together.
Yes.
And so that's why the Ben Carson story happens. He went to church, and his family went to church, and
right,
faith was instilled in them. And yes, they didn't have that father figure, but he had multiple father figures through the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this is why you just really cannot underestimate the importance of being together with other people that are going to hold you up and support you. And this is why mentoring is so important, and in fact, why so many mentors, guess what? They come from faith motivated perspectives. And that's why mentoring is so good for kids and for adults, for that matter.
And yet we seem to have this incredible pushback where you're almost given the impression that religion is like asbestos. Do you remember about 2 years ago there was a big story where the mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, wanted to oust all the churches from meeting in the public schools. This is a violation of separation of church and state. Well, wait a minute. The schools weren't being used on Sunday mornings. The churches were paying a fee. Other entities, other clubs, other groups or whatever were also renting the facilities. But because they were religious, the churches had to go. And they were treating religion, and in this case churches, like it was dangerous and bad for society. But if you were talking to Michael Bloomberg himself, would you, you know, be able to show, hey, look, the research shows religion is good for society, not bad?
Well, not only that, it's an economic boost boost to every urban center in the country. You take the churches out of New York City. You take the churches out of South Central L.A. You take the churches out of Detroit. It's a time bomb waiting to go off.
Oh, wow.
We're now beginning to do econometric studies showing the impact of these things. So, you know, take church attendance aside. What does the faith factor mean to America? So we just completed a study of a faith-based prisoner reentry program, and we found out that it saves taxpayers $1,800 per participant. Okay, that's a cost-benefit analysis that's published in a very good academic journal. Well, what if you looked at the economic impact of a church in a community? When you look at all the ministries, the benevolence ministries, the homelessness ministries within those churches, the after-school programs that those churches provide, all privately funded, it's an enormous benefit that the city doesn't have to support with their own finances. So I think that, you know, those kinds of things, they often forget what these congregations mean to America. Wow. And then it's international. The generosity of people of faith, around the world, whenever there's a tragedy, the people of faith respond. So I think the church takes a lot of hits that are unjustified, and they don't get the kudos for the wonderful things that they do in cities all across our country.
Wow. We're talking right now with Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor University, who is an author about the impact of Christianity and church going and religion in general on society. And Dr. Johnson, why did you choose to go? It is just a quick question. Why did you go from Princeton to Baylor? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, Baylor had recruited me for a while, and I was I thought that the Ivy League was the best place for me, because when you're doing research on the faith factor and you're finding that it's important, and you're at a place like Penn/Princeton, like I was, or you're at a place like, you know, Harvard, it's not politically correct to find that God is good.
Yeah.
But when you do so from a place like that, there's real added cachet to say, oh my goodness, this research is coming out of a really secular place, maybe even a hostile place, and it's showing that faith is important. And so, that's what I enjoy doing. Baylor was recruiting me at that time, and I thought, why would I want to go to a Christian university and blow my cover? But after a while, I felt like, I'm supposed to go there. And so I did. And, I've really had a wonderful time here. And it's been wonderful to, publish studies and actually receive credit for it. So my president is Ken Starr, and he loves the work that we do and applauds
great.
The work that we do. And now we're developing a major Washington presence so that we can help, with public policy issues that are important issues of the day. And so when you're talking about topics like gay marriage and issues like that, life, issues of life that are so important to people of faith, and at times our arguments rely on the Bible and what the Scripture says about these things, we want to bring research to bear. What does the empirical evidence say about marriage between a man and a woman, and raising kids within that kind of a context, and to show how that affects healthy families? We want to be able to bring those kinds of findings to bear on these issues that are so central for our country.
Wow. And you've got a great colleague, too, who I guess his health prevents him from doing many interviews and so forth, but Rodney Stark, who's written many books showing the positive impact of Christianity. In fact, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think he was actually writing about the positive impact of Christianity before he himself personally embraced Christianity, as I understand it. And maybe all
decades.
His research led him, to Christ.
Yeah, Rod is just an amazing, amazing scholar. He is here with me, and he's got three books coming out this year. I mean, the guy is incredibly prolific. And, this is what he writes about. He has a book coming out in about 3 weeks on religious hostility, showing, who's dying for their faith and where. And he's looking at deaths all across the globe that deal with, the persecuted church. And that's his new book coming out. And then he's now working on another book on the spread of Christianity in China.
Wow.
It's phenomenal. And he's doing projections using growth curve models to show what China will look like in another decade. Spectacular stuff. And yes, he did most, he wrote like 30 books on religion, you know, before he himself became a Christian. And so, yeah, he's an amazing character, and we can all pray that he would live another 100 years and write another 100 books.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the books that he wrote came out about a year ago or so, and I think it was called America's Blessings, but
yes.
It was sort of overlooked. But the overall point he was making is the same point you and I are making in this discussion, that overall religion is good for society, but he actually has a quantification of it. And so by the end of the book, he's showing you, okay, let's add up this dollar value of what the church brings, and let's add up that dollar value, and look at these crimes that were prevented. And he says, easily, on an annual basis, $5 trillion is added to this economy in the United States of America indirectly through the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. What? You know, it's like, whoa, you know, again, that book is called America's Blessing, I believe.
It's a fabulous book. He wrote it, Jerry, for lay people, not in the typical voice that he uses on a lot of his books. And you're exactly right. It's really something that people could read in almost a day. And there's a lot of good sermons in there.
Yeah.
Good data. But, you know, if someone's looking for a sermon to preach on America's Blessings, there it is. And the other thing that Rod concludes is that everybody benefits. People of no faith or little faith benefit. They're the passive recipients of all this good fortune that faith brings to our society. And in a day and age when that is all politically incorrect, I think it's important that people know about it, especially people in the pews.
Yeah, exactly. Get the facts. Get the facts. Okay, you mentioned marriage earlier. How many times have I heard statements along these lines? The divorce rate among Christians is just as bad as the divorce rate among non-Christians. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you this, sir. Is that true if we define the Christian as somebody who is actively involved in church? Is that statement true or not true?
It's not true at all. It's horrible research, oftentimes conducted by Christians, and unfortunately winds up being preached in our pulpits. And so I had the honor of speaking to about 200 pastors a month ago at a retreat. These are the pastors from the fastest growing churches in Texas. And what I did in the talk was try to correct a lot of the misinformation that they had, you know, heard over the years. And a number of them were just really upset because they had, you know, bit the bait. They'd taken the bait.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, how do we know when we're reading bad research? And so here I am trying to give them, you know, information that would, I said, first of all, if it doesn't sound right to you, if it really just, you know, troubles you that and it doesn't make any possible sense, that's telling you something right there. And then look to see what do the footnotes look like. And some of these studies, quote unquote, don't even have footnotes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it plays well to certain people to create this kind of the sky is falling mentality.
Right.
And sure, we've got our issues that we need to be dealing with, but the reality is church attendance is remarkably protective for our marriages, for our kids, all the way around. And we have decades of research that confirm that. And so you're right. It's all about, do you practice your faith? If you don't practice your faith, then it isn't going to add any value to you.
Okay, so when it comes to, let's say, the divorce rate among professing and active Christians, well, there's a difference between those two, I guess. Professing Christians would be a wide body of people, whereas active Christians would then be a subset within that.
Yep.
But let's say the active Christians, how many approximately of those marriages fall apart? Approximately.
Yeah. Well, you know, rather than saying how many fall apart, what I would say is it's so statistically significant. And you know, we're always looking for significance. Because if it's significant, then that means the likelihood is really off the charts of something happening or not happening.
Okay.
And so we know that these relationships are statistically significant. So weekly church attendance is going to help predict the likelihood that you would remain in a marriage and that you would be happy in that marriage. And then, you know, I'm not going to back that out to say what is the exact percentages. I need to actually do some calculations to give you that.
Okay.
But we just know for a fact that
it is significant.
Participation is so so important. If you never go to church and you say, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah, I haven't been to church in 10 years, it's not important to me, and you know, I never read the Bible and I don't pray, but I am a Christian, then no, it's not, you're going to be just like anybody else out there without faith.
Right.
And I think that's where the we drop the ball with some of these studies.
Yeah.
Because I would say most Americans would kind of by default check a Christian box.
Right.
But they're not going to say that they go to church and it's really important in their life. And you know, the decisions that they make in their life are clearly based on prayer. That's a whole new animal, and I think that's why we have so much misinformation out there.
Hmm. You were saying earlier that if you were to take the churches out of a community, you would have an awful situation. There are different communities where within, let's say, there's a conflict on the zoning board, and essentially, what? We want another church now. We don't want another church because there's no taxes coming from that church. We'd rather have a taxing enterprise, so we'll say no to this church and yes to this strip mall or, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. If you were testifying before a zoning board like that, what would you say?
I would say you're making a huge economic mistake.
Economic?
Economic mistake. Besides the halo effect, you know,
what
do
does
you
that mean?
Want a strip joint across the street from your business, or do you want a church across the street? You know, as one colleague said, where do you want to break down with your car? In front of a church where you can hear a choir singing, or do you want to break down in front of some kind of a sleazy place? You know, the reality is 9 out of 10 people are going to say, I'd rather break down in a church where I can hear a choir singing. There's a halo effect that comes from these churches besides all of the economic impact that they bring. So, for example, a colleague of mine at the University of Pennsylvania did a study and just looked at Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, and tracked all the churches in Philadelphia and asked them, what are the ministries that you have? How much do you put in? What do you do in this community? And this was a conservative estimate around the year 2001 that the churches in Philadelphia provided $250 million worth of social services to the city of Philadelphia. Now, some people would, in 1 year.
At no cost to the city of Philadelphia.
At no cost. Now, some would say, well, yeah, but they weren't paying taxes. These people were generating so much goodwill, and it wasn't just in-kind services. I mean, literally helping people that the city otherwise would have to take care of.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at our prisons, which, as you know, Jerry, I do a ton of research in prisons.
Yeah, you wrote the book, More God, Less Crime.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the volunteers that are going in there, and they're not just going in there to do Bible studies or to preach. They're going in there, they're showing people how to do math. They're showing them how to read.
Sure.
They're showing them how to create a job application.
But their
they're
Christian
showing them how
faith.
To create a business plan. There's a ministry in Houston called the Prison Entrepreneurship Program. They're helping these guys start businesses so that when they get out of prison, they run their own business.
Right, and it's their Christian faith, though, that motivated these people to get involved in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot of these people will tell you, I'm a business executive. Who would have ever thought that I'm mentoring a prisoner to start his own business?
Wow.
But they felt called to do it. And this, too, we've done a cost-benefit analysis on this to show what a remarkable return on investment one gets from a program that's privately funded. So as these states all across the country, there in Florida, as they struggle with their budgets, more and more the faith communities are stepping up and saying, we'll help. We'll help with this problem. We'll help with that problem, whatever it is. And because states are so desperate for solutions, I think there's a unique openness now from government to say, okay, how can you help us? We're willing to give it a shot now because they don't have anywhere else to turn. And so this is a very important time for people of faith to really think about standing up in the gap, whatever God's calling them to do, to make a difference in some of these areas that are just so difficult for government to tackle by themselves.
Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for being with us. Is there a website where people can read of your
sure.
reports and so forth?
Yes, and it's all they're all free. You can download them. We have all these great reports up that I've mentioned and more. The website is BaylorISR.org. BaylorISR.org.
ISR stands for?
Institute for Studies of Religion.
Okay. Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor, thank you so much for your time. I'd like to have you back sometime. I could talk to you all day. You're fantastic. Thank you.
Let's do it, Jerry.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. And that's, again, Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor University. That website for more information, BaylorISR.org. God bless you. We'll see you next week on Vocal Point.
Thank you for listening to Vocal Point. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNetRadio.com or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. Join us next Thursday at noon for Vocal Point on GraceNetRadio.com.